The scripture lesson this morning is from 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 20. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel, so he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your men servants and maid servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles."
Have you ever heard the words, "But everyone is going"? Or have you ever said those words? Well, the time that's memorialized in our home is the time when Libby said, "But Mom, everyone is going to the party." Well, there was a youth retreat that same weekend, and I was not blessed with three calm, quiet, sweet children. I was blessed with three very headstrong, wild children. And Libby was probably the most headstrong. She was my middle child. Well, we fought and we fought and we fought over party versus retreat. And I finally decided, this retreat's important. So I put my foot down. And I went against, we went head to head over that. Well, she took off with the youth group that weekend, and I prayed very much for the youth leaders. I thought, oh, that poor child is going to give them. But they took off, and when they came back and I picked her up, I had a changed child. And she told me that it was a life-altering weekend, and thanked me for sending her to the retreat and not allowing her to go to the party, and then admitting that the party probably was not where she ought to have been anyway. Well, the choices that we make, it's not always good to go along with the crowd. And Israel at the time of this passage wanted to go along with the crowd. They wanted to be like all the other nations. Well, in their case, they probably could learn from the other nations. Not everything is all good or all bad, as it was in the party versus the retreat. There were probably things that they could learn from other nations. But Samuel wasn't so sure that having a king like all other nations was the best choice for their nation. Well, this is the end of the period of the judges. The judges were a time where it was a loose confederation of tribal tribes, and they had judges that took care of the legal matters. And so Samuel was the high priest. He was also judge and prophet. And then he appointed judges for all of the the other tribes and the other smaller places within the tribes. And so when there were military challenges, this loose confederation had to join together and send a militia to take care of whatever people were challenging them. And that was okay. It worked for a long, long time until they needed more land. They were growing in population, and they needed to challenge other nations to get a little more land. And they also very recently suffered a huge defeat by the hands of the Philistines. This is a really important time in history, the time of Samuel and Saul and David. There are 55 chapters devoted to their lives, and we'll be talking about their lives all summer. The rest of the kings, which were a huge amount, there are only 47 chapters about all of them, but 55 chapters about these three very important men in the life of Israel. Well, a loose tribal confederation is good. Nobody can tell you how to run your own family. They can handle things within their little groups. But it's not good when it comes to defense and trade. And so, for good reasons, the people asked for a king. They wanted a centralized government that would bring all of these tribes together in a better way. Well, the Philistines were kind of quiet at that time. They weren't a huge threat, but as we were when 9/11 happened after that, the threat of terrorism was on our minds, and so that threat of the Philistines would have been on their mind as they were going through their lives. And so the people sent the elders to Samuel, and they said, "We need a king." And the reason we need a king is because your sons aren't just, and we don't trust them. And we don't want them to become the high priest, the leader of our nation. And you also are getting older. And so we need to figure out how to go forward with our governance of our nation. Well, I'm not so sure that that was the real problem. You know, any group, and comes with nations, it's small or large, any group, when things kind of get off kilter and people are disagreeing and arguing, and there's always the posed problem, but then there's always the underlying problem. Well, the exposed problem was your sons are bad and you're getting old. But that wasn't valid because it wasn't an inherited position. Samuel was not the son of Eli. Samuel was given to the church by his mother, Hannah. He was raised by Eli in the church or in the temple, and then he became the high priest. But Eli's sons did not. So there's no reason for them to believe that Samuel's sons would take on that role. And then Samuel was getting older, maybe ready for retirement, but he sure wasn't dead yet. He was capable of ruling because he went on ruling for 9 more chapters. Well, maybe not that many. Yeah. Oh, anyway. So he kept on ruling. So he wasn't incapable. So what was the real problem that was underneath that they weren't talking about? And maybe they didn't even think about it. Often we don't. We see something that makes us frustrated, and we talk about that, but we don't look about what might be behind it as well. So Samuel went to God with the request of the people. And God said, "Oh, don't take it personally, Samuel," which I love because Samuel didn't say a word about that to God. But in leadership, if somebody wants to replace you, that's pretty hard not to take it personally. So God said, "Nah, don't take it personally. It's not you. They're rejecting me." Well, we have to back up in history to understand what's going on here. If we think back to the Exodus, God helped the Hebrew people escape from the Pharaoh. And at that time, God gave them the law. God was established as their king. And the reason why we know that they were thinking of God as king is because when they got through the Red Sea and they were getting ready to go to the Promised Land, they sang a song. And the song was, "The Lord will reign forever and ever," as in a king. Kings reign. And then God promised that God would go before them and lead them to the Promised Land. Well, kings went in front of the troops in those days and led them into battle. And so God was leading them on the way. And God's covenant with the people was similar to the covenants in those ancient days between kings and their people. So God was their king in essence. And by asking for a king, an earthly king, they were rejecting the established king, which was God. Well, with all organized governments, there's rules and regulations. If they appointed a king, they would have to appoint judges and have a legal system. And they would need someone to negotiate trading. And they would need someone to be over the military and figure out how they're going to pay the military and keep them going. And so God reminded the people, told Samuel to remind the people that with kings come cost. And that kings would eventually abuse the taxation system. And sure enough, in the days of Solomon, they were abused greatly. Well, it wasn't just the elders that came to Solomon, it was the people. They were all guilty of idolatry. Idolatry is when we move God out of the way and want something else in God's place, when something becomes more important than God in our lives. And so all of the people were guilty of idolatry. But God didn't address the idolatry. God didn't say, "Why are you rejecting me?" God talked about the cost of a king. So I suppose we might say that the moral of that piece of the story is that if we don't listen to God, it's going to be costly. Well, God's message to the people was, you have a king, your sons are going to go to war, the king is going to conscript them into the military, and your daughters are going to have to go into the service of the king. The king's going to take a tenth of your harvest and your flocks. You'll have to pay that into the government. You'll become the king's slaves. And when you complain, I, God, will not listen. And in the time of Solomon, sure enough, Solomon did tax them very highly, and they complained bitterly, and God did not listen. Well, I want to pause here for just a moment and talk about Samuel. Samuel did some very good things in this hard time. It's hard when somebody comes and says, "I want to replace you." Samuel didn't pop off, get mad, angry, and say, "Get out of here." Instead, Samuel said, "Okay, I'll go to God." Samuel went to God with the request of the people. God confirmed to him that what he was thinking was right, that it was not a good choice. But then God also affirmed him and said, "You're okay, Samuel. Keep on." But most importantly, Samuel listened to God. Well, in the last sentence of the chapter, which we did not read this morning, in verse 22, it says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'Listen to their voice and set a king over them.'" When Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them to the ears of the Lord. And then the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to their voice and set a king over them." Well, if we look at the very last part of that sentence, it says, "Samuel then said to the people of Israel, 'Each of you return home.'" Have you ever done that? had something on your mind, felt a call from God, or felt your conscience telling you something, and instead of doing what God is telling you to do, or through your conscience, you said, I don't really want to do that. Made up excuses, moved on to something different. Well, that's kind of what Samuel did. He brought the request to God. God said, tell the people, go ahead and have a king. Samuel went to the people and said, go on back home. Well, why would Samuel do that? I don't know. We're not told. But I'm wondering if it had to do with power. You know, it's hard to do the right thing. And power is a very strong thing. And when you give up power, when you give power to someone else, you are losing some power. And so even as high priest, he may have been worried about that power. You know, these type A personalities, and Samuel probably was one, it's hard to let someone else take over. But back to the children of Israel. They posed the problem to Samuel, which we know is not the real problem. But I think the underlying problem was stability and security. If we go back to chapter 4, back to the Philistines. The Philistines attacked the children of Israel, and they were defeated, killed 4,000 of their men. Well, the children of Israel were upset about it, so they went to Samuel and they said, we need God. We need to have the ark. Let's take the ark, which is where God's resided in their thinking. Let's take the ark and put it in our camp, and then we know we'll be okay. And so they did that. Samuel allowed them to do that. Well, the Philistines heard the excitement in the Israelite camp, and so they became afraid. They could remember what happened to Pharaoh and the Exodus as the children of Israel left Egypt. And so the Philistines went to their camp, and they slaughtered them, killed 30,000 men, and took the ark. Well, they took it back to their camp, to the Philistine camp, and they put it into the temple of their god, their principal god, Dagon. And the next morning they went in and found that Dagon was laying face first on the ground in front of the ark. Well, they put Dagon back up. You know, a Dagon's an idol or a statue of some sort. And then the next morning came in, and Dagon again was flat down on the ground, face first, but his head and his hands were cut off. Well, they got afraid, and so they tried moving him to different places and different cities, and bad things were happening. And so finally, the Philistines returned the ark back to the Israelites and gave them a guilt offering as well. And so the children of Israel are remembering that they had the ark, which is where God resided, but they still were defeated, and they still lost men. So the ark, or God, didn't seem to save them. And so they were looking for another power, another way to be stable and secure. But no nation can guarantee that. Kings and nations give false illusions of stability and security. Only God can provide that. So they gave up on the representation of God, the ark, where God supposedly resided. And you know, in our day, that would be the people that let us down, or the preachers that let us down, or the prayers that let us down. Those representations of God that don't seem to work or upset us, and we say, I'm going to scrap it. And so they gave up on God at a very high price. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Oh God, teach us to place our trust in you alone. Amen.